It's the Daily Talk Show, episode 861.
Happy hump day, Gronks. What's happening? What's going on? Sebs, you joined us this morning. Well done.
Yeah, happy hump day.
Yeah, great episode. You should go and listen. It is fun.
Have you already listened to it?
20 minutes. But, mate, I was inspired. Like, inspired listening to the skill, the growth, the loveliness of the team. Yeah. Love it.
Can you give us a tease, Mace? What can we expect?
Jess is loose. She's very funny on the show. Probably, in my opinion, one of her best appearances yet on any podcast.
Amazing.
And then, yeah, we've got great guests on the show. And we're just doing ring arounds to check in with them. So, go listen to it.
Yeah. Okay. I feel Jess Lucas is one of those people that superstar, like, out of a podcast context, you're right. It's like she's great, sometimes outrageous, you know, but, you know, within the boundaries, it's that fine line of working out, do I go that far on a podcast that goes out to the public?
Sure.
And so, once she does do that, it's, yeah, she's finding that sweet spot. And so, hopefully, this is just, you know, we need a new nickname for Jess if it's wild Jess.
Well, she's going all in. Like, it seems like she's going all in, which I appreciate.
She's a superstar.
Yeah. Guys, I feel like it's the holidays.
Why?
Yesterday, I was walking in the hall of the apartment block, and I was like, there was a smell that actually gave me a feeling of happiness, but also just like that I was traveling. Can you guess?
It wasn't Dale.
No, it wasn't Dale. Can you guess what the smell was?
Well, I had a smell yesterday, Josh, that did the exact same thing for me. So, I'll just say what mine was and hopefully it's the similar one. Sunscreen.
No, that is a good one.
That is a great one.
Bree has a certain sunscreen that when she puts on, I'm like, for some reason, I feel like I'm in Dubai. Mm. What's going on? it's a pretty cheap way of traveling. No, the smell was the smell of weed coming from my neighbor's apartment, and it reminded me of the shitty hotels that Mace and I stayed in LA, where it's just like you can't get rid of the smell. Even Vegas, I feel like, has that happening a little bit.
You said Mace. You mean
Nace.
Oh, no, you said Nace.
Nace.
Sorry, it's Nace. Nace. Yeah, Nace. I was like, did you guys go to LA without me? You guys go for a little travel trip?
Yeah. No, Nace.
Flew back.
Nace-san.
Oh, Nace-san. Yeah. Definitely. I mean, it's California. Mm-hmm. It's the smell of California is marijuana.
And so
what did you do? You kept walking and just smiling, or
it was just one of those things where it's like Bree picks up on everything. So if the neighbor's being loud or whatever it is, she loves a bit of, like, the other day the neighbor had the music loud and she was like, put her ear up to the door of the neighbor to check that it was them, and then that neighbor was actually out of their apartment coming back to their apartment door, and Bree's ear was up against the door.
Sprung.
It's not ideal. But no, so Bree, I think that Bree's default is, like, she loves to create a story about the different neighbors. And so her perspective on the weed, like, I'm like, smell this. And, you know, open the, she's like, oh, for fuck's sake. And then she's, you know, pointing at the door that it is or whatever. I'm like, I like it. That's good. So anyway, that's what reminded me of holidays. So I'm currently in LA at a, what was it called? A Super 8, I think, was the shit motel that Nace-san and I stayed at, where I thought I was going to die.
Well, the sunscreen was yesterday for me, putting it on Bodhi, and it was amazing. It was like I was in very close to him at the point, and I was just sniffing it, and it took me back to being a kid on the beach on holidays.
Yeah,
and it was so nice, and it was also mixed with, we were flying a kite for the first time, him and I, and
for the first time ever.
Well, with Bodhi. I've flown a kite before. Okay. But, you know, you get given presents. We got given a present. I haven't flown a kite for 20 years at least. Okay. Got given it for his third birthday. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those presents you get, oh, fuck. Like, I just saw it in its packet.
A two-string or a one-string?
one string.
Okay, that's like, better. Oh, two strings is fucking hard work.
Well, primo, yeah. Though.
Yeah, primo.
That's for the adults. Yeah. That's for the adults. So, yeah, we got this thing. And I'm just like, oh, it has to, you know, there's a lot that has to go right to fly the kite.
Mm-hmm.
You want it really windy. If it's like subpar wind, it just falls down. It's very challenging.
I feel like, but it was, mate, so windy yesterday, though. Dude. Surely, like, it's almost not height safe with how windy it was.
Dude, it this thing was going. This thing was up real high. Bodhi was loving it. I was just, it made me so happy. I was like, when would you ever, as an adult, fly a kite at the park?
I'd fucking do it.
Just go and do it. No, but like, no, you've got, I'm sure there is. Up.
No, I'm definitely, I'm keen.
Dude.
To do it.
Kites, like, I wonder are fun.
How, like, the string, could you fucking David Blaine it? Like, how high could you get the kite, I wonder?
Well, it needs to be, yeah, the appropriate wind, but I didn't even, I went probably two-thirds or even half of what the string was, and it was
really
40 meters in the sky. It was real high.
What were you worried
It was
about?
Good. Oh, no, it's just annoying because any time I gave it to Bodhi, he would, like, run and then throw it.
Oh, no.
And then I'd be chasing after the kite. But it's really fun. I was just thinking about, like, if you don't have a kid,
mm-hmm.
what's a way you can become, playful in your adult sure. life? Like, this is advice to myself. If I didn't have a kid, there's no chance I'd be down the park flying a kite.
Yeah, yeah.
No Which chance. I think- and so, what...
I think I'm probably more, I have that kid nature, like 97s and Grace got me a glove, like baseball gloves and a ball, and I do intend to make Brie go down to the park and we're going to throw that fucking ball. And so, that seems like a very playful thing, don't you think?
Yeah, it does. It does. What's another, if you were both mm-hmm. outside of one that's been given to you.
Sure.
Like if you were having two. Be like childlike
mm-hmm.
and actually go out and do it, what would it be?
Oh, like buying Sims? Magic tricks and stuff, definitely.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Well, the first, I thought about frisbee.
It's not really
playing with a frisbee. No, well, if you get a real bait, like one of the ones with holes in it where anyone can throw it and it just goes miles, like that's, mm-hmm. I feel like that's childlike.
It is. It has that same, I know what you mean, outdoors. We had the same, we had the frisbee at the park yesterday as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you need to borrow one, Sevs, you can borrow my
Sandcastles, it's got to be...
See, this, Josh, you're onto it, mate. Yeah. Imagine, like, cut the anxiety, cut the fucking self-concern. Like, don't worry what other people say. Josh, today you're heading to Elwood Beach and you're building sandcastles.
Look, it would be something that I'd be
don't
into,
you reckon?
But I feel like I'd be the type... The problem is, think about when you're a kid...
Yeah.
And if someone ruined your sandcastle, what you'd do? Like, could you imagine, like, man kills child who tries to destroy his sandcastle? It's like you've got to enter into it with a new energy. You've got to sort of be like, look, if someone's going to ruin this,
yeah,
it's all part of the game.
Yeah.
Don't blow up.
Okay. I've got a promise. So, I'm just envisioning what it'll come out as. Mm-hmm. If we did a little video series where I follow Josh Jansen, who has to be a kid for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you looked after Bodhi, you're a dad mm-hmm. for the day, and I'd love to see you be a kid for the day. So, we're going to the sand pit to build castles.
Yeah, nuggets. And yeah, what else? What else is there? I mean, Mace, what did you do? I didn't play with toys as a kid. What did you do?
Well, I mean, the other thing, like a lot of pool stuff, like pool toys, like an adult getting in one of those blow-up donuts. Like, I feel like
very Instagram,
that, you know, it is very Instagram.
Flamingo.
But even just, but just like, I remember like at the public swimming pool, I don't think they would do it now, but there were just like massive rubber mats that you would all
buy on and play with. Rashes, really
bad,
like
chest
rash. But
caught under them. But what about caught under them?
That like, full
I got
on.
Caught. Oh yeah, my God. I got caught under one. Harold Holt pool caught under
oh,
it.
Oh, no.
And I was just fucking... I mean, Harold Holt died.
That's how Harold died. Like, he was fucking on a mat.
Drowned.
And fucking, yeah.
And, yeah, I got caught under one. I just remember, you know, I, gasping as I came up. Just scared. So scared. Oh. But that's another one. Climbing trees, JJ. Like, there's a little bit of element of risk involved. you know, the swings, the play set, like just drawing in the park. Oh, here we go, like drawing on the ground. Everything I wanted chalk. To do with Bodhi in this lockdown, how about I just start doing that with you?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the problem with chalk is just the... I mean, lockdown is a nightmare, isn't it? No, I don't get asthma, but imagine the pandemic. Think about how dry everyone's hands are going to be. So you're using hand sanitizer, soap, and then you're going outside and playing with chalk. Like you're going to have some serious eczema going on, wouldn't you?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, jumping in the puddles. So kids do that, like jumping in muddy puddles. You'll smile. That's what I think what will happen. Yesterday I was just smiling, flying that kite, and Bodhi's running off playing with the frisbee, and I'm just there. I'll post it today on the Daily Talk Show's Instagram, the only Instagram I really have access to. I'll post it on there, but it is a happy sight. But maybe try and be more childlike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the things, Grace and I got a clay set that we're going to be using this weekend. And
so it's just coloured clay? Like different, like doing claymation?
Or is it all just a single colour? No, it's just like brown clay, you know, just normal clay. But it's like, you know, that Play-Doh vibe of just like, you know, you're making something. You know, it comes with all the tools, so...
Is it going to be like the scene from, what is it called? Is it Ghost?
Both just hold Ghost.
Is it Ghost? Is that what it is? What is that movie? You know the one I'm talking about?
Yeah, Ghost. Behind and you. Yeah.
So I'm guessing you don't have a spinny? A kiln and all the
no, like, we don't have a kiln, but we have one of those spinny things.
You do?
You put it on. Yeah, we have one. Yeah, yeah.
Why?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I have no idea.
Where is it?
It's mum and dad. It's in the garage. It's mum and dad's. It's probably like 10, 15 years old.
Really?
That's great.
Yeah. So we can use that, which will be fun.
See, this is awesome. So, Josh, you said you didn't play with toys. What were you doing other than sort of building automated, like Tesla vehicles?
I mean, I wasn't that like mathematical or smart. Like, I wasn't doing like electronics or anything either. Like, for me, it was the, I've told this story before, but microphones. I was obsessed with microphones. Oh, and yeah, Big W had a $20 microphone, but it was really shit. And it was only a 1.2 meter cable mic length, and so I would have to pull at it to like move it far enough away from my speaker so it didn't get feedback.
Yeah,
and so every few weeks I would fuck it, and I would have to tape the bottom of the microphone because otherwise it would sort of go in and out. But so I went through a lot of microphones.
The difference is Josh, you see me ever riding a bike or a skateboard, and you're like, he's not that bad at that. Mm-hmm. That is a result of me spending probably a good 8 hours a day at the skate park for like every fucking weekend or hours at night for years. I didn't get paid for doing the shit that I didn't get paid for skateboarding. Yeah. You now just get paid for working on microphones back when you were 4 and 5. It's paid handy. Off for you, mate. It's a good investment. But maybe the adult years for you is your child years, the childhood.
Maybe it's just being a bit consistent, right? Like, I don't know if I'm like, I'm not, what's it called? What do they say Michael Jackson was? Fucking Peter Pan? Were you going to say child? What were you about
child
to say?
Sex offender.
No.
Pedophile.
I was going to say child star.
Probably should have finished that one. You know?
No, he was a fucking Peter Pan, right? Which is like, never grow up. I don't think that I'm the Peter Pan guy. Definitely not. But anyway, moving on. iOS 14. Have you downloaded iOS 14, TJ?
No, I'll do it today. Do it today.
Oh, my gosh.
So yeah, the only reason I have to just put in my card again to Apple, so I can back it all up again before I.
So you have to get the card out of the wallet.
Yeah, that's exactly what I have. That's it. So I just need the CSV on the back, whatever it is, and then I'm good. And then I'll back up the phone and then do the update. That. I just don't want to do the update before the backup because you know my luck.
Yeah.
My whole Apple account will be taken.
Oh, definitely. Well, I've noticed something with iOS 14, and Mace, you were using the beta, so I'm curious to see whether you got this. So there's this new function where there's a little orange dot or a green dot on the top right of the iPhone. Sebs, are you across this?
Yeah, I'm across this.
Can you explain what it does?
Well, so I mean, it's part of their little move towards making, you know, the phones a bit more private and increasing the transparency between things. And so I believe orange means it was, it's been recently active. And so an app has recently used your camera or your microphone, I think.
So orange is microphone, green, oh, and then is green's camera. Camera, yeah. And so it'll just show up on the little, on the right, you'll see this little dot. You're like, what the fuck is that? And it's because you have accessed something that has used your microphone or camera. So when you're on a phone call, you'll see the orange because you're on a call and it's using the
microphone,
mic.
Yeah.
It's very random though. Like it just, it pops up in just like the weirdest place. Like it's...
Well, so this is what strange. This is what worries me. So Instagram, randomly, not using the camera, not using all that, the green, like switching between accounts, the green dot will appear for a second and go away, right? Mm. And so I did some research, and in July, there was an article all about this, and Facebook came out and said, oh, this is a bug in our system. We're not actually... accessing it, but this is the thing, they are accessing it. they actually are accessing it. So the thing is, it's not like it's a bug where the green dot is a bug. They're going around in the, they're using this language which is saying, oh no, we're not actually accessing it. What they mean is we're not going in and looking at the photos, but they are, like the app is fucking accessing the camera, like it is prompting the iPhone to show the camera, because iOS wouldn't show that green dot unless that's happening. Is that right, Seth?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
And where is this going to? Like, is there some headquarter where there's a guy on a computer that he hasn't moved in 4 years and he just turns and gets fed, you know, food, and he's watching all this footage, deciding what he might cut together? Is it a Georgie boy who's doing a replay of Instagram users?
No, well, just imagine like, so think about it this way. Here's a thought. What could you use the camera for? Like, so the quick split second camera. They could be doing things as simple as how much light is in your room. So if you're going to bed and there's not much light in the room, what does that mean? What do we serve when the room is dark versus it's a bright day? Like all of these different things. I just think that
data points.
Yeah, the thing is, this was an issue in July in beta, and it's still happening today. I feel like this must be something that is more cemented. And I think that the issue is that what they would probably argue is they would say, we're doing this for performance. So imagine if they, for instance, if your thumb went to go to swipe right to access the camera, there could be an argument there where it's like, oh, well, we just want to be activating it before you actually see the camera so that it's ready and raring to go.
Yeah. The other thing that's been happening is also like which Apple's giving notifications for, but it's copying your clipboard. And so apps will now notify you when they've copied from your clipboard. And so I think LinkedIn got done for copying a bunch from your clipboard. And that was happening at like intervals.
So what does that mean, Mace? Can you explain that for someone who doesn't?
Well, when you select something and then you copy it
Outside of LinkedIn.
Outside of LinkedIn. So any you know, selection on Safari or whatever, or you're copying a message or whatever, Apple will prompt you when an app reads what you copied. And so LinkedIn was caught because it will say like LinkedIn copied your clipboard or whatever. It'll tell you what app did it. And so LinkedIn got caught doing that, and they again said it was a bug. And then also TikTok got done for doing it as well. So it's pretty...
TikTok.
It's
What did it's they get done for, buddy? Kidnapping your 6-year-old. Sorry, we just kidnapped your 6-year-old.
Well, the thing is, it's the... Apple are doing a decent job in creating a level of accountability. I think that's what's good about them not being in the... If they were in the social media space, it'd be a disaster. So, like, I like that there is a company that's keeping these social networks and apps to account.
And do you remember, Josh, it was probably around the time you were working for Fifi and Jules, you probably wrote an article for The Dirt. It was about to turn off your phone's location settings because you could check where you'd been. And it was like the first time that had come out, and they're like, if you go into this setting, you can see like where you were at 2 p.m. based on your GPS. And everyone's mind was just fucking blown. They're like, this is disgusting. And then it kind of just, that's disappeared. I mean, that's still happening, right?
Well, there's like, if you go into your Google account, you can see some of the privacy stuff there, but Google's well known for doing that. But there's even, like, I remember back in the day when Twitter first launched, when someone would tweet a photo, their EXIF data of that photo was still there. So I could save the photo. And because the iPhone would attach a GPS location, I could see exactly where that person took that photo. And so they've done that. They've done a bunch of work in like stripping out all of that sort of EXIF metadata so you don't get that information.
But yeah, that's how that guy hacked Tony Abbott's frequent flyer account by downloading the image and had all this data attached to it. Somehow he found it out.
Yeah.
Might have been a little while ago, but I mean, it's still happening.
Yeah.
And so, where do you land on that?
Well, like, I think just with all of this sort of stuff, I think just a wariness. So, you, like, there's the first stage, I think, of, like, realizing, okay, this is happening. And then being comfortable with, okay, like, what does this mean? What does this mean for the way that I use my device? Does this mean, like, it's hard. I think it's just a good thing from a transparency perspective. But also the more awareness that we all have around this, until there's actual change in regards to user behavior, all of these social networks are going to continue to do what they're doing. And it makes sense. If they can make more money, then they will. Actually, on the more money thing, I got an email from someone who's in the radio industry. And they emailed about the Spotify, the algorithm stuff, the Spotify thing. They said, it's interesting because you sound like the old farts complaining about how FM radio isn't the same now, that they don't play album tracks. The commercialism, that's commercialism for you. Podcasting will commercialize as other mediums have. And that can only be a good thing, surely. I think the thing that gets missed is, like, we're not against commercializing things. It's about monopolies, it's about duopolies. Like, I think that's the bit that gets missed is as if we think everything should be some sort of hobby, right? Do you get that sense? Yeah. Like, I think that, like,
when I see what you mean. So the commercialization, which led to monopolies, like in the radio industry, I mean, is that even an industry you could look to as a comparison?
Well, so what you can look at is you could say, so that argument sort of says, okay, well, these things are happening. You don't have, like, you've just got to go with it. Otherwise, you're going to be, you're going to be left behind. And so if you think about it, it's like, look at the music industry, and you could say, okay, well, if you got on, like, if you don't go onto iTunes, you're fucked. If you don't go on Spotify, you're fucked. But there's this other version, which is you can also have a part and have ownership on this sort of thing. And so what that means is it's like you need to invest in your own technologies. You need to be able to compete. Like, if you're wanting to, at the end of the day, because what we're talking about here is it's like, is money and making money for brands and all that sort of thing, you do need to have a good product for brands. I think for us, what we're trying to do is it's like, okay, what about if we're an independent podcast network that has the best technology when it comes to being able to reach audiences that's outside of Spotify, outside of Apple Podcasts, because it's less about the algorithm in regards to, like, from an advertising perspective, but it's from a content perspective. The thing that I think is, it's very hard being a Southern Cross, Austereo, or an ARN, because what do they do? Like, do they, so Podcast One, who SEA licenses here in Australia, they weren't on Spotify. And then they reach a point where they're like, oh, fuck, we've got to be on Spotify to be relevant. And I completely understand that thinking. And that's what, like, we're on all of the platforms. But at the same time, what are you building? What are you creating that then sits on its own that's outside of all these other bigger things?
Mm. And, I mean, probably podcasting's an interesting one because radio didn't start as something that was, you know, that anybody could do. It's always been something that you had to have a license for. So, podcasting's been this thing you could, anybody could start, but then the monopolies are starting to appear, which will mean there's a lot more picking going on. Spotify choose you to be the superstar.
It comes down to it. It actually is more about consumer habits than anything. So, it's like if, like whether we call it podcasting or what, like, what we do, it's not too fucking dissimilar what we're doing to talkback radio or whatever it is. But I think that the important part of it is protecting the actual medium. Like, I think that people will say, like, the medium doesn't matter. Like, it's all about content, focus on content. But the consideration is that the platform and the medium will dictate the way that the listener consumes that content. And so, when you can change the context in which the audience listens to the content, you are reshaping the content. And so, you can't say that I'm just going to put something out into the world and not focus on, you know, necessarily the medium, focus on doing, you know, good storytelling, all of these types of things, when at the audience end, it will be shifting. There is a there's a big difference between doing a 5-minute piece that then go like a 5-minute segment that then goes to music than there is doing a, you know, 35-40 minute uninterrupted piece. So I think that the thought around don't worry about the medium, everyone just worry about the content is not too dissimilar to what's happening with Facebook, with Instagram. This is what we've been told for a long time. We get told, focus on the content, do good content. But then all of a sudden we're like, hang on, I'm putting out all of this good content. I think that this is what people want, but it's not reaching people. Fuck, what do we do? Okay, I'll put out a meme. So a meme, like, it doesn't have any sort of brand value to it, but it's the lowest common denominator stuff. It's the stuff that everyone can relate to, just on even on a very superficial level. And you put that out there and that's like, oh, it got, like, we're getting a response now. We're getting all this reaction. We're getting feedback. We're getting comments. We're getting likes. Fuck. Do you know what? Like, fuck doing the piece that took you 2 hours. Mm. Why spend 2 hours doing a piece of content when you can do, when we can just spend 2 minutes Photoshopping up some photo someone else took with a meme? Mm. And so this is the consideration where it's like, I understand the appeal of focus on content and also the criticism or the feedback. Like, I've heard this across the board when I speak to industry people about this, who are especially in those bigger businesses. The biggest thing that I always hear is it's like, oh, Josh, but, like, you know, this is like the commercial game, right? This is like the commercial thing that we're playing. I think that what people don't underestimate is, or sorry, what people underestimate is that, like, every single day, we're turning knobs, making adjustments to build a sustainable business that has sustainable revenue, that pays creators, that pays a team, that puts creativity at, like, the top of everything we do. And so I just think all of this stuff is really relevant. And if we don't, if we just dismiss it as, oh, this is something that, like, yeah, you just got to, if you're not on Spotify, if you're not on these things, like, you are going to be left behind. There is another version. And for me, that version is be there, but also be very wary of what's happening to your content. Be very wary of the knobs that they're turning and the things that they're doing. And so you need to be parallel with what's happening over there and building a sustainable model that then fits something where you have more control. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Is the thought, though, from these people that sort of are in big businesses, big media brands that do say similar thing? Is it that they think it's inevitable? It's going to happen, so you better do the deal with the devil and play the game,
so
play the algorithm game.
And so the reason, yes, and so you can be playing a finite game and an infinite game at the same time. You can have your infinite game and then realize that we need to play these finite games, whether it's charts or social channels, to be able to build all of that stuff. I think part of it is like using the Southern Cross Oz Stereo example. I've spoken about this before, but in 2013, Southern Cross Oz Stereo came out with a product called Songul. And Songul was meant to be the competitor to Spotify. And this was Southern Cross Oz Stereo, rightly so, saying, hang on, we're being disrupted here. And so we need to own part of this pie. We need to be doing something in this space. But then if you don't have the right strategy in place, you just can't compete, because you end up being this exclusive thing that doesn't really do much. It doesn't have like the audience first. It doesn't take off because it's coming from a place of, we just need to do something. We need to react, and not thinking about what does the audience need? Where is the audience going? I think like iHeart have done a better job in providing, you know, doing something in this space with their apps.
Their own app that has access to all different types of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Is it like a Sirius XM model?
Like,
but free? But they've got free access for iHeart?
No, I think like, so for iHeart, they've done well in regards to licensing. So they've licensed to, you know, Australian markets, and they've got things going on where they're owning the content and they're creating stuff, and they're also using, if you look at what ARN are doing, they're using their radio platform to encourage people to download the app and do all that sort of thing. And then they have a stake in that app and in that revenue. And so I just, like, if you look at, so Songul, before Songul started, they were called Anubis.fm, and that was a Sony, that was done by Sony as a way of saying, hang on, fuck, Spotify's doing this play. As the music industry, as a label, we need to do something. And so there's this constant reaction that happens where it's like, disrupt yourself. But they don't, like, we see it time and time again, they're such a big ship. They're paying so much money to all of these radio hosts and all that stuff. It's a very hard pill to swallow, where they need to completely restructure the way they do business.
Yeah. I mean, you could say that it's always going to be the case that there is someone or some out media brand or platform at the top owning a majority. Like, all the best minds are there to work out how to do that exact thing.
Well, you don't have to be Spotify. You don't, like, the thing is that it's not be on Spotify, like, be on Spotify or create your own Spotify. We can create, like, we've done the forecasting. We know that we can create a really good, sustainable business that pays creators, that does all of those sorts of things, based on a model where it's like, you're owning the content. You're even owning the advertising channels too. You are, and so I think that there's a consideration there where it's, gets lost around podcasting, where because podcasting started as this small thing, it feels similar to, say, the blogging industry, right? When, so like, when blogs are happening, and then you're seeing, you know, your BuzzFeeds come up and all that sort of thing, you see bloggers, you know, just a few individuals or whatever behind their computer getting pissed off that, like, ah, this is like not what blogging is. Blogging's changed. And I think that, to the point of this email, that you could lump what I'm saying and simplify it to a level where it's like, this is a hobbyist or someone who is romanticized with the medium. Don't focus on the medium. Like, who gives a fuck? Like, and I get it. If you're someone who, it's like people's obsession with radio, Like the love of radio, the love of, like, if people took that energy of their love of radio and applied it to, like, love of, like, building creative things for audiences, it's such a fucking small shift, but it would completely change the way they do business.
Yeah. Yeah, it opened a lot of doors.
What do you think, Mace?
Well, you mentioned yesterday around the stuff where Spotify is, if you're an artist, like a music artist, you're being paid to put your stuff on there, but the whole podcasting platform is free content for them. And so they've got their own, you know, streaming ad insertion tech that's available for brands to advertise with Spotify. And so I guess, like, the importance of being able to, I guess, yeah, control your channels and just be cautious of what those bigger platforms are doing. And I think there are, like, there's a bunch of tech coming out. So there's like a new sort of directory for podcasts that steps away from what Apple's doing, because a lot of the podcast apps are based on Apple's podcast directory. And so I think...
And so what that means, TJ, is it's like, imagine there's... Apple was the... When podcasting started, Adam Curry talks about this, who's sort of seen as the founder of podcasting. You know, he was the... He was on Joe Rogan recently. I think it was episode 2 in his new studio. But the
they call him the godfather of podcasting.
Exactly.
And I said, I thought Charlie was the godfather.
So the index, that whole, like, so an index is just like a list of every single podcast that's out there, right? They did a deal with Steve Jobs where they're like, Apple can have that, right? And so Apple became the index. And what that means, what does it mean to be an index? It means if you're using an app like Pocket Casts, or if you're using these other aggregates or aggregators, they would use Apple as a way of being like, what podcasts are out there? And so all of a sudden, this medium that could be open
feeds through one central location. And it's just like, it's at Apple's whim that, you know, removing stuff and all that. And so, yeah, I mean, I think there's...
And so there's a new index, is what you're saying.
So there's a new open index that's, you know, it's meant to be sort of that decentralized, away from one organization sort of thing. And so, yeah, I mean, it's, I think, like what you're saying, Josh, there needs to be a caution around what the bigger companies are doing with your stuff. And on the iHeart media and iHeart radio stuff, like, being able to actually have your own channel, or actually realize what channels you're distributing your stuff in and what's happening in those different channels, whether it's like, you know, Spotify putting an ad in the future in your actual, you know, content. I think just being cautious and wary of what's happening with your content is what needs to happen.
And the other thing too to keep in mind is Facebook did this, YouTube has done this. They will come out at some point, Spotify, and they will say, we're making it easier for podcasters to make money. And what they'll say is, we are now doing ad share across all of the podcasts, so you can make real money through putting your podcasts up there. Spotify bought a company called Anchor. Anchor was seen as a host, as a podcast host. So when you put up a podcast, it has to be hosted somewhere. And the thing that Anchor did really well was they made it this app. It's like this social network. It's really easy to do voice calls, like leave voice messages for the podcasters. They provided all these features. And then what they said is, we're going to make it really, really easy to put ads on your content. You don't control what the CPM is, so the cost per thousand downloads that you get in regards to, you know, what you get paid. You don't even really get a say in regards to whether an ad gets played or doesn't get played. And so Spotify have bought Anchor. So if you think about what Anchor represented, then you look at what Spotify has bought. I have no doubt that what's going to happen in the next 2 years is what's happening on YouTube right now. We're on YouTube, but we don't believe in, like, I noticed yesterday we got demonetized on one of our videos. And it's like, that what they're saying, what YouTube are saying is, for this video, you can't make money off it. And what we're saying is, it's like, okay, we're going to be on YouTube. We'll play that game. We'll do that. That's fine. But we'll also be on our own platforms. And not only will we be on our own platforms, but we'll control the advertising. And not only will we control the advertising, but we'll give brands the best technology in regards to how they reach their audiences. And not only that, the risk, like YouTube or Spotify would say, okay, there's this thing called brand safety. So if you talk about a certain topic, McDonald's or whatever the company is, doesn't want it. Like, so Qantas don't want to advertise against a episode about a plane crash. That's fine. The thing is that what we're doing as independents is giving brands all of that sort of stuff. But rather than getting a CPM, so a cost per thousand of $10, $15 based on what a Spotify or a YouTube will give you, we can get $50. And so this is the whole thing where I think the reason why I bring all of this up is because, not because I'm like gloating that I think that we're doing the right strategy, but because there are so many people who are getting started today and they should just be wary of what the machine is that they're playing into. Mm. And it's not be a hobbyist, don't care about money, or join these things blindly. Mm. There's this other hybrid, which is understand the context of the industry and then create a great sustainable business that you know can't just be, you know, shifted or changed depending on the monopoly or duopoly that we're dealing with.
Mm. And then there's a bunch of people that the other approach is too hard or not right for them. So they will play the one presented by the Spotify.
Or they'll come to us. This is the other thing too. So we are providing revenue share for creators, but we give them a bunch of other things too. We give them support, we give them coaching, we give them a platform, distribution. And so this is the thing. There is the other hybrid. It's like, why would you go to a network? And so if you are thinking about going to an iHeart or an Acast or a Podcast One or a big media company, whatever it is, you need to ask the same questions, which is like, what are they giving? What's the transaction that's happening? The transaction that happens with what we do is we take a percentage of revenue. We look after everything. We look after sales, which is very common. There's nothing revolutionary about that. But then we'll have conversation. Like, we have content meetings every single week. You're working with, like, think about with Tully and how much you're closely working and developing and doing all that sort of thing. And so that's the exciting thing for me, is bringing that model with, you know, everything else. But I just wanted to clarify, because I think it could be, you could easily think that we're just some hobbyists who are a bit blind to what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, there's multiple approaches. I like it. And then that hasn't even brought into account the censorship stuff that we were speaking to yesterday about Joe Rogan, which then, so you could go down that rabbit hole of reasons why these big companies are damaging for creators and sharing information on either side. So, I mean, is there anything outside of the medium of podcasting that is has been unaffected by these big companies in the
I think
past?
Everything has. So, there's a whole, we spoke, I think it was yesterday about email.
Yeah.
There are a bunch of petitions, but also working groups that are working against what Google are doing when it comes to how they sort your inbox. And so what Google has done is Google have created algorithms for your inbox. And so if you go into your inbox, if you're in Gmail, you'll see, what's the tabs, Mace? There's a marketing tab. There's a, I've got it turned off.
Yeah, there's a bunch of just like ways to separate them out based on the context of the email.
Promotions.
Promotions.
Social media.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so this is the thing. All of a sudden, Gmail or Google is controlling what our email does. And it's based on convenience. So what happens, like, oh, this is so convenient because now Google or Gmail is only going to show me the things that I want to see. But then what does that do to small businesses? If you're a small business and you got someone's email address and now all of a sudden that customer isn't seeing your email because you have been put into the marketing category, what does that do? So, TJ, this is the thing. There is very few options and opportunities around the where we haven't been affected by algorithms. And I think the thing is that algorithms can be used in a positive way too. We are using algorithms for the things that we do as well. I'm a robot. No. But the... like we're using them as well, but I think that there needs to be an intentionality to it, and we also need to just make sure that we are diversified in the way that we. So, for instance, it's like Facebook. Myanmar where they talked about that in Social Dilemma. It's like when someone gets a new phone, the first thing it gets installed is Facebook.
Yeah,
from the telco, by the person who's setting it up. And so what does that do? All of a sudden, they think the fucking internet is Facebook. And this is what's happening. All of a sudden, people think that Spotify is podcasting. Spotify's only been doing podcasting for fucking a year and a half or 2 years. It's like Spotify podcasting has been around since 2005, 2004. So, like,
and if you were Spotify, you would want people to think that.
Spotify is doing the exact... Spotify is doing the exact thing that Spotify should be doing for its shareholders. Spotify is doing exactly what Apple was unable to do based on Apple being a big company and not needing to do it. But do you know who else is playing in the podcast game now? Amazon. And then if you look at what Amazon, like you want to look at the terms and conditions of what Amazon says in regards to podcasts. What were they saying, Mace?
So you can't badmouth any Amazon, their home brand Amazon products in your podcast if you want to list it on there. They've just got outrageous things dictating a bunch of ads and content that you put out on their platform. But, look, I mean, the outrageous thing
is... I would be a dirty, dirty little boy and do a exclusive show for them reviewing every product at Whole Foods. I'll do that. That would be a show that I'd do.
Yeah, non-perishable because it would have
pro to Amazon, pro Amazon show.
Where's my blind spot with this stuff? Do you think though? Like what's the?
I think it's inevitable. You're pushing against something that is you're playing an algorithm at all of these different levels. So which one are you up for?
So it's not pushing, right? So I think that this is the clear thing. This is the distinction. This is the bit that will be the difference between me being absolutely crazy and stupid and us being successful is it's like, it's not a push. It's recognizing it's looking all around, making strategic decisions based on all of those types of things. Everyone wants it to be an all or nothing. It's either like you're for Spotify and you're on Spotify. You can be on Spotify and being like, you know what, Spotify for us is the version of a billboard. So fucking 10 years ago, you had to pay for eyeballs. And so there is a sense that Spotify at the moment is giving eyeballs that we can, or ears, that we can then convert to our own fucking brand. And that's why, like, having a brand, having something that's connecting with audiences, so something that's actually that if we were to go would be missed, that's what you need to do, right? You need brand equity. This is why Joe Rogan gets over $100 million. It's because he's got brand equity. And so it isn't about, like, yes, you're right, like, to a lot of extent it isn't about the medium, but it is about brand. And within brand, it's how are you using the medium? We've had, like, just because you're good at TikTok, you might be really great at TikTok. You might be, you know where this is going, Mace. You might be really good at TikTok. You might be really good at creating fucking 6-second videos on Vine or whatever it is. doesn't mean you can talk for 45 minutes. And so this is the great thing, is like fucking TikTokers coming out with podcasts and they're the most boring thing that you've ever seen. And so anyway, I've had a coffee. Can you tell? I finished it before I fired walk up. And coffee. I'm fired up, fired up.
Does no, that ex- great.
Does that explain no, everything? The reason I bring it up is because also I don't want to be misconstrued or these things to be overly simplified. And I recognize that when I do a 5-minute conversation, we don't connect enough of the dots to paint a picture that actually makes any sense for anyone that doesn't have context.
I mean, but there's a high chance of continuing to be misunderstood when you're talking about stuff that you're believing in it and you are doing all the dot connecting, which is giving you a context, and then there's something else there that you're having to think is the way it is, which people will always think there's a blind spot there if they haven't done that work, and it's not your job to get other people to do the work.
And everyone's got blind spots and everyone's got different versions of someone on our studio tour. I was looking at the comments. They said, someone said, how can they do it? Yeah, no, this is another one. I was just like, I wonder what people are saying. Yes. They're like, fucking, someone's like, someone had written back to a criticism of like, you know, well, these guys only have 10K or whatever. Like, what's the deal? Yeah, and someone's like, parents money or whatever. I just write, it's just like, you can see the blind spots, right? You can see the story that some, like, for us thinking about a year ago and the struggles we had and what we had to do to try and make it work. So that makes me proud. But the other thing that what it does is it's like, I feel bad for the person who that is the story that they've told. Because if you really believe that our parents are footing the bill for this fucking dumb thing that we're doing, you're poorly mistaken. And so I think that...
Look, we're speaking for ourselves here, not Mason.
Yeah.
That's a different story.
Mason's
that kid Mason is totally bankrolled.
Doesn't he? we're thank you to Mason's parents.
For putting a roof over his head, keeping him healthy. Not many sick days so far. It's been great. It has been great.
so quickly, I mentioned at the front, Jasner on YouTube. She sent us an email.
Yeah.
What was the actual contents of the email?
It was a reply to the email that you sent out over the weekend.
That's right. And she signed off.
The morning pages that somehow got sent to everybody.
Yeah. The morning
rant. What you said in it.
TJ, did you notice what happened? What was at the end of that email?
No, I did see the email from her, but I mustn't have read to the... It was not much in there.
Mm-hmm.
What did it say at the bottom? Did I miss the bottom bit?
Yeah, she said she signed off and she said, you know, thanks or whatever. Yaz.
Yeah.
And Jazz, so we've been saying Jasna. I think it's Jasna.
I think it's Jasna. I said the exact same thing to Grace.
You put a J at the start, you're going to convince people it's Jasna. Because I have a friend called Jasna, spelt exactly the same.
Are you slamming Jasna, saying that she is in fact Jasna, not a Jasna?
Why is her name written Jasna and she signed off Yaz, which is a nickname? Yaz is a nickname. And she's just said it in the comments. Yaz is my nickname.
So if Yaz is a nickname, if Jasna was her name, wouldn't her nickname be Jazz?
Yes, but then and it's so like Amos. Amos. How do you get to Amos from Amy?
Amos, yeah.
And then Mossy. I call her Mossy. So how do you get to Mossy?
Oh, well, that's just ridiculous at that point.
Yeah, but this is nicknames are ridiculous. Mr. 97.
So, Jasna, is it Jasna or Jasna? We just need clarification.
Let us know.
And spell Jasna with a Y just for
it.
If it is, just so we can be clear. Anyway, so that was something that had been on my mind as well.
Okay, it's sorted. Her name's Jasna.
Jasna. Pronounced
Jasna.
J is pronounced Y
in...
I'm Serbian.
She's Serbian, yeah.
There we go.
Jasna.
So, you okay, TJ?
Yeah.
I mean,
thanks
could have
for
gone
emailing Jasna. Thanks
yeah,
for emailing.
Yeah, I'll call you Jasna because... Yeah. You
know. I mean, people that do come to this country that make their names easier...
Yeah, sure.
It makes a lot of sense.
If you're going to come to our country, you go on, what are you saying?
No, no, but it is interesting when you choose to go easier name it. That well, it's is Dan the same.
Illich
I like Yasna. I know.
Yeah, yeah.
I know a Yasna as well.
But do you think that so maybe Yazzy?
We used to call her Yazzy. That was great.
But maybe Yaz has never actually, like, what you're implying there is like. Just to make life easy, she said that her name's Jasna to us, but we've just always called her. We've never heard her say her name.
It's a yeah. So J is Y in Serbian.
Yeah.
So then that is yeah. The translation is Jasna, which makes sense to then just replace it because everyone's going to get fucking
Jasna
because her name's not Jasna, it's Jasna, but it is
Jasna.
It is Jasna,
but then it's J. Yeah, the conversion's the fucking bit that's tricking us all, isn't it? It is.
Yeah.
So, are you okay with Jasna with a J?
I think we just say Yasna. I think we just use your actual name. Surely. I mean, it's a pretty next level move to be like, no, your name's this, but I will be calling you this.
Yeah.
Like, that sounds like fucking 1995 at the pub, doesn't it? It's fucking.
I'm Jasna.
What's your name?
You guys.
Too hard. I'm calling you John.
Oh, she's thrown a spanner in the works. She's now changed the S to a Z. I'm Jasna to you guys.
Oh, Jasna. Because the way that we.
Oh no!
Because we do it, Jasna, Jasna. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
All right. Thanks, everyone. I've got no call to action.
No.
Thanks for coming.
Email us with your real name if we've been booking it for the last 6 months.
Aren't we glad that we had Mace on so I could just talk for 40 minutes.
It was great. It was great. I expect a follow-up email from the person that sent through that
Well,
one.
No, I'll just send this. I'll just send, hey, mate, I responded.
it's a good thing to talk about. I mean, people mm-hmm. need to be aware of it if they are creating stuff and, mm-hmm. you know, want to mm-hmm. be on right. platforms.
Or they don't, podcasts, and they don't have to give a fuck, and they just mm-hmm. continue doing their path. Because that is a lot of people's paths, right?
And this is also our path, the other thing
and
is
that's their path.
The person who emailed was extremely nice, and it's this classic case of, you just take the one bit that you don't agree with or whatever and just double down on
it. Turn it into a 40-minute
I appreciate it. Thank you for the email. It was very nice. And I appreciate it.
We need a show a day and thank you for delivering the show.
Yeah, because the marijuana bit didn't really go very long. You know? Like, there wasn't really much to it. All right. Enjoy the rest of your day, guys. Have a good one and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
See you, guys.